John chapter 3, you don't have to go there, but I'm going to go there. John 3:34, it says that God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. God doesn't give the Spirit, capital S, God doesn't give the Holy Spirit by measure. Have you ever read that before? Because in John 3:16, we read about God so loved the world, and Jesus is talking, and then it goes on about the testimony of the evangelist, the dude, John the Baptist. Talks about John the Baptist, and he goes on, and he talks about, he must increase, I must decrease, right? And he talks about, because somebody asked him about the purification, and they're talking about why is Jesus baptizing people, and crazy stuff. And he says this little quote about how, in John 3:34, he says that, basically he's talking about Jesus, he says he comes to preach the word, to testify of the word. And he says, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. He doesn't give the Spirit by measure. You ever thought about that? He doesn't give it with any measure. So there's no measure to the Holy Spirit. So there's the Holy Spirit. And when God gives the Holy Spirit, he gives it without measure. What is going on? Without measure. It boggles my mind just to think about that simple word, measure. But then the word before it, it says without. Without any measure, God gives his Holy Spirit. Now, how many of us in here have the Holy Spirit? If you're born again, we receive this, the promise of the Spirit, right? It seals our salvation. Amen? And so, he gives it without measure. I find it interesting that when we talk about worship, or we talk about that time of prayer or intercession, or when we're at GM that Thursday night, or at our MyPod on a Monday night, or a Wednesday night, or a Tuesday night, and we say, man, the Holy Spirit sure did show up a lot that time. Man, he came even harder and more measure-ish. God really showed up that time. Or we pray prayers like, God, would you show up better than you did last time? God, come into a greater measure this time. God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. God gives the Spirit. Period. Without any measure. He just gives it. That's a phenomenon. That's amazing that God gives us himself in the form of his Spirit to come and live in us, amongst us, with us, and through us. But then we wake up in the morning, and probably the greatest, well, one of the strongest catalysts of people that God's put in my life who has helped me and discipled me was a mentor to me, was a lady named Janice Ridgway. She's alive. That's your mama. That's Maya's mama. And she said one time, she said, you know, the flesh has resurrection power. It does. You kill it and it just comes back from the dead, you know. Just every day you wake up and it's just there again. And so you wake up in the morning, your flesh is strong, and you're just, he's just living, and he's trying to rule and reign, and you get mad at your toothbrush, and everything is just horrible. And then you're like, I just need to go pray. And so you get on your knees, and you just start looking, searching, praying. That scripture comes to your mind. Seek and you will find. Draw near and he will draw near to you. And we get consumed with trying to find God. Trying to find God. Trying to find the Spirit. When we talk about finding the Spirit of God, or trying to encounter God's presence, or entertain his love or his deity, we try to I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're waiting for a feeling that that, oh, there he is. And so we wake up in the morning, some of us, hopefully if we pray, and we go to go seek God. We read books about seeking his face and the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of God, and learning how to find God. And so tonight I'm here to say that those pursuits and even the desire to find God is vain. Give up. Give up. Because he's already found you. You're already found. Have you ever played hide and go seek? Anybody played hide and go seek before? Hopefully. I have. And you're looking for something. Or someone, I should say, and it's dark. And as you're looking for that person, you can't find them. You hear footsteps, you smell stinky breath, but you just don't know where they are. And all of a sudden, they come behind you and they grab you. And they hold you, and you're like, get away, I'm looking for someone. And they're like, I'm here. And you're like, oh, well, go hide again. I want to come find you. You already found me, except on my foot. Oh. And so, but we still want to go find. We still want to go find. We want to find God. We want, when we wake up in the morning and we're on our knees, we're trying to find his presence. We're trying to get in that holy place where we put on that awesome worship music and we push play and we start listening and we're hoping that maybe some goosebumps might arouse and we're just waiting to find God. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, verse 11, he says, he came unto his own. Jesus came to his own. Or in other words, Jesus came to his own domain. He came to his own realm. He came to his own place. It doesn't say one day Gabriel came to God. One day Gabriel came and found God. You know, Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus. Luke talks about the birth of Jesus. Mark doesn't really say anything about it. But John talks about the Word becoming flesh. And it talks about how he comes into the world. But I love it that it says, is it, do you guys look and you guys don't got a Bible? Okay. Is it verse 10 or 11 or is it 11? And it says he came to his own. I don't know what the NIV says, but in the New King James it says he came to his own. It doesn't say that one day man came in the form of an angel, stepped into heaven, and found God. It says he, Jesus, came to us. He came to us. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. That's Christmas. All right, let's go home. No, I'm just kidding. That's Christmas, is that he came to his own. But then right after that, in the second part of it, it says, and his own, or his own people, didn't receive him. They didn't receive him. Now, I can understand if somebody came to earth and started throwing people away and hitting people and yelling at people and rejecting people and condemning people and judging people and... I mean, maybe if somebody did that, maybe I would reject him. I wouldn't receive him. But somebody that comes full of love, full of, it says in verse 14, full of grace and truth. Somebody that comes full of grace and truth, I would receive. But he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So each of us in here who believe and confess Jesus as our Lord and we're born again and we receive the Holy Spirit as a seal of our promise, or of His promise. Well, now we're born again. Now we're children of God, called by name. But yet, Paul says in Galatians 3, that was a big step. Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, well, I don't have it here. Who has bewitched you? Who are you listening to that diverted the gospel that I preached to you? Who told you something different? He says, did you receive the Spirit? Let me go there real quick. Galatians 3. Did you receive the Spirit, or did you become children of God by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you become a child of God? Did you find God in your own efforts, in your own desires, in your own trying to find Him? Or did He find you? Did you receive the Spirit by your human efforts or by the hearing of faith, he says. And then he goes on. He says, are you so foolish? And we know the scripture. We quote it all the time. Having begun in the Spirit, capital S, are you now being made perfect by the flesh or by your human effort? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's he saying? He's saying you're born again. You're a Christian, we call it today. Now, did you become a Christian by trying to do the law? And when we say law there, they're talking about doing all the commandments. Sacrificing cats, circumcision, all these things. That people would have to do everything perfectly to be born again or to be children of God or to receive God's promises and to receive forgiveness and to be a holy people. But he says, did you, Christians, receive the Holy Spirit by human effort or by faith? Say it this way. Did you find God or did God find you? I think we should ask ourselves. Is God someone who hides himself from us? Or are we the ones that run? Are we like Luke 15 says, the lost sheep that ran away? Who found the sheep? Did the sheep find God? Oh, there you are. No. The shepherd found the sheep. And what did he do? He didn't let him, the sheep, walk all the way back home. What did he do? He picked him up, put him on his shoulders, took him home. That's salvation. Now, I want to talk about this, though. I want to talk about coming. I want to talk about finding God. I want to talk about the little word came. It's Christmas. And we're talking about the baby Jesus. But I want to think about, I want to meditate on that little word came. But the word before it's even better because it doesn't say you came. It says he came. Now some of us, this is kind of abstract and weird. But when you go pray, do you get on your knees and try and say all the right words to feel God? When you come into this room to worship, do you try and sing at the right tone? Just maybe if I get to that tone, I'll hear him. Well, maybe we're not that bad, but maybe we try and pray the right words. God, today I die and you live. Okay, there he is. I feel him now. Okay, first I have to read this many scriptures, then I can receive God's Spirit. Or does the Bible say that he gave the Spirit without measure? So if we're born again, what does he say? He never leaves us nor forsakes us, Hebrews 13, right? He doesn't leave us. And then what did he say in John 14? He says, I won't leave you as orphans. You're not an orphan anymore. I could understand if you're an orphan looking for a God. But if you're not an orphan, if you're found and if you're a child of God, a son or a daughter, no matter how old or how young you are, if you're born again, you are a son or you are a daughter of the Most High. You are no longer an orphan. I was just reading, I love it. It's in Isaiah 62. If you have anything to meditate on this weekend. Isaiah 62. He says that you are no longer called forsaken. Your name is no longer forsaken. Your name is no longer an orphan. We are children of God. He says, you are now called sought out. Who's seeking? God seeks. Who finds? God finds. Who sought out? He sought out. Our name is now the ones who were sought out and found, and not just found, but redeemed and saved. And now he stays with us and he lives amongst us. And Jesus says in John 15, he makes his home within us. Wow. So can we live like we have the Spirit without measure? Can we worship? Man, you know, worship would be a whole lot different if I didn't have to try to do anything. If I didn't have to try to find God's love or to earn God's love or to earn God's favor. See, the gospel says that you lived a horrible life, but God's going to give you everything. That's the gospel. And it still is that. That's still the good news for you, is that you, at any time of the day, it doesn't matter if you sinned. Why? Because remember, the Bible says that when we were sinners, he died for us. So it doesn't matter where you are, at what place you are. If you're in that position with your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you know you're not supposed to be there, at any time you can call on his name and call on his Spirit, and he is there with you and among you. Why? Because he loves you. Well, God can't be with an unholy people. Well, then he shouldn't be with me. Wow, this is good news. What's my whole thesis here? My whole thesis is this. Stop trying to find God. Stop trying to find God. It's great, Elena. I love it. So what do I do then, Gabriel? What the heck are you saying? Just like the person playing hide and go seek, when the person finds you, let them find you. Just okay, you win. Okay. Many times I go to buy food for somebody and they'll be like, no, man, no, dude, I'm good, dude. Good, man. I got it myself. Let me buy for you. All right. Buy for me then. And some of us are like, you know, that's just, it's got a good heart, bro. You know, I don't receive, man. I just give. I'm a giver. More blessed is it to give than receive, brother. But really, on the inside, the reason why we don't want to receive, the reason why we don't let people pay for us is because of our pride. Because if somebody else pays for us, then that means that we couldn't do it ourselves. And so we don't want to admit that we couldn't do it ourselves. But see, the gospel is the very message that you can't do it yourself. You could never find God. You could never go into heaven to find or seek out God. He just says, here is my love, just receive it. But God, what about all these horrible things I've done? It doesn't matter. I've already paid for it all. God, do we understand that God knows all things? Because if we really understood that, then we would know, you know what? God knows that 6 months from now, I'm going to sin, but he still loves me right now. Wow. People kept rejecting him, and he kept forgiving. He kept loving. He kept reaching out his hand. Romans 10, 21, he quotes an Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. He says, continually, I reach out my hand to a people that continue to reject me. Oh, man. So you're saying that people just kept rejecting and he just kept receiving? Yes. I'm saying it does not matter how far you go from God. He's still looking for you. He is the one that finds you. This is the message. This is everything right here, right here. You ready? Just receive the fact that he found you. Just accept and embrace his love. Could you imagine, Luke 15, could you imagine if that boy would have come home to the father and the father goes to hug him and embrace him? You know, the Bible says he fell on his neck and kissed him. Could you imagine if he fell on his neck and the boy pushed him off? No, I'm walking home. No longer worthy to be your son. The boy never got a chance to say that because the father interrupted him. Could you imagine? Because that's what we do when we get on our knees and we try to find God. But rather, instead of trying to find God, just accept right now he's here. Right now, in our midst, in your seat, right here with us, he's here. And he's not here to condemn. Please hear me. He's not here to condemn. We are under the covenant. We are under the message of love and grace, that God forgives us, that God loves us. I'm not giving you an excuse to go live a life of sin. If you do, I question if you're born again. But if we do sin, if we do fall, there is forgiveness for everyone, for all people. Man, if there's anything worth getting excited about, if there's anything worth dancing about, worth screaming about, worth, Gabriel, why are you shouting? Because I'm excited about something. It's the best news yet. There's nothing that compares to this message. That God in his love found me. In the midst of my struggles, in the midst of my helplessness, in the midst of my sin, he seeks me out with love, and he loves me and he forgives me. And not only that, see, that's just part of it. That's just the story of redemption. I call it from orphans to fortune. He takes us as orphans and then he gives us everything. He doesn't just save us. He gives us, the Bible says in 1 Peter, all that we need for life and godliness. He has given us everything. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians 1. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that you don't have to try and get things from God. I got a scripture for you. Christina, whenever you want. Whenever you want. I want to worship. But let's listen to this. This is Hebrews 4:16, but it's in the Amplified. Let us then, this is awesome. Check this out. Because we're about to go into the presence of God. And if I see you trying to get into the presence of God, I'm going to kick you. I'm just kidding. But because I just said that, you're going to remember that. So the next time you try to, you're going to remember, he's going to kick me. He's going to kick me. I won't kick you. I might, but I won't. Let us then. Man, this is good news. Let us. Who's us? Us, okay. Then fearlessly, that's without fear, and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. The key word is the word receive. Can you just learn to receive? You know what the son did in that time? He just let the father love him. Luke 15, he just let the father hug him. He just embraced God's unmerited, unearned, unachieved love. The son didn't do anything. The sheep wasn't doing anything. He was running away. But God comes. I just, I love it because now there's no boasting in the flesh. Now nobody can say, well, I'm a holy man of God because I prayed longer than you. Because now, no matter how old, how young, how mature or immature you are, or you think you are, you can encounter God's presence as any human being can. As any born-again Christian can, you can entertain, receive God's love. So now there's no boasting in your flesh. Now you can't say that you found God. Now you can't say that you went looking and you found someone. It's kind of like when we make a mistake. We wait until we feel that guilt go away. But the guilt is just fruit of our condemnation. And so then we tell people, well, you need to forgive yourself. Brother, just forgive yourself. I don't really see that in the gospel. I understand what they're saying. They're saying, just let it go, brother. Just, you got to forgive yourself. Well, the last time I checked, I don't see one time in the New Testament where it says forgive yourself, but I do see over and over and over again, receive God's mercy. As we just read twice, he says, receive God's mercy. So the problem is not forgiving yourself, because if your confidence and boldness comes from you forgiving yourself, then your pride and your boast and your glory is in that you forgave yourself. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that you learn in humility how to receive God's grace. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. And so it doesn't matter what I've done. All I can do is fall on my face. I don't even got to fall on my face. See, some of us think that we got to do the right thing and we got to get on our knees for the long enough time and just hope that maybe God will forgive me if I do it for this long. No, that's not how it works. How it works is that when you sin, you receive forgiveness at that moment. Brother, I just need to reap the consequences. Yeah, you will reap what you sow. Don't get me wrong. But that guilt and that shame can go away in that moment. The problem is not God not wanting to forgive you or God putting his wrath on you because he's waiting for you just to feel what you've done. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that God forgives you when you repent. That's the gospel. Man, there's some of us here tonight who don't even think they can come into God's presence because of what they've done. Or maybe, okay, I'll come into God's presence, but first I have to jump around. That guy's jumping around. Maybe not to jump around because I don't believe in jumping around. Maybe if I get on my knees and I'll wait till my knees start burning, then I can have his presence. No, you're wrong. Well, what is it then? Seeking you will find. Mm-hmm. How about just receive? He's already come. That's the Christmas story. God has already come. He already came to us. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? And would you feel free to come to the front, to separate yourself from your friends? And if you want to come, you can do whatever you want to do. I just want to encourage you to do whatever you want to do. You don't got to come to the front to encounter God's presence. You don't got to jump around to encounter God's presence. You don't got to scream and shout to encounter God's presence or forgiveness. You don't got to do anything particular. All you have to do is humble yourself and receive that he loves you. Humble yourself and receive that he found you. Don't be too cool for this. Don't think that you're too cool to receive God's love. Man, when I got this revelation and I'm continuing to get it and understand it, I am continually in the presence of God. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Man, if we worship like, if we come into this auditorium, or if we wake up every morning with this mentality that I don't have to do anything necessarily, I'm not saying you don't have to pray. You need to pray. But to encounter God's presence and to receive God's love, you don't have to try. You hear the emphasis on the word try? Isn't it? Can somebody say yes or amen or something? Are you guys understanding? Are you guys receiving this? So tonight, we're just going to worship. And you're free to go whenever you want. It's 8:50, 8:49. But there's no time zone. This is the last Thursday night of GM until 2009. And I want to encounter God's presence. But I'm not going to do it by trying. I'm going to do it by receiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Tonight, we receive you. Come on. You don't even got to say it. You don't even got to say anything. It's just a heart. It's just where your heart just breaks and you just let him hug you. You just let him love you. You just let him forgive you. You just let him do what he wants to do. There's no boasting in the flesh. It's faith. It's faith. Come boldly and trust that God loves you. Come boldly and trust and receive. Don't try to get things. Just receive what he already has for you. Just accept his love. It's faith. That's the covenant of faith. It's just believing. It's trusting and obeying and trusting and believing that Jesus Christ died and he rose again on your behalf. He paid a price for your personal and individual and this world's corporate sin. And he laid himself down and he rose again to justify you and to save you and to forgive you. And then he gave you his spirit to make you holy and to transform you and to give you power to preach the gospel and to live a new life. It's not because you tried to find him. It's not because you sought after him. It's because he came. It's because of his great love with which he loved us. He lavished his love on us, but some of us don't know how to receive his love. See, we're trying too hard to receive his love. Just receive his love. Just receive his love.